days so heavily. And then this morning when I got up, the Lord put it together, and I didn't have a place to preach tonight. I was just kind of taking it easy, and the Lord has better plans sometimes. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11 and 6. But without faith, it is going to be hard. It's not going to be really super easy. It'll be, you know, hard days and easy days. No, without faith, it is impossible to please God, Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Lord, we ask you to move in this place. Touch our ears, our hearts, our minds. Open it up, Lord. Move and do fill somebody with the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You may be seated. In Isaiah, we begin to read that the Lord is very upset about some things. He's upset and he's tired of the way people are living for God. I want to talk to you tonight about let's get back to faith. He's tired of the way people are living for God. He says, I'm sick and tired of your sacrifices. I'm tired of the blood. I'm tired of the lamb. I'm tired of the bullocks. I'm tired of all of your rituals that you do unto me. He even says that the incense that is burned in the house of God is totally an abomination unto him. Well, isn't he the God that set all this business up? How is it that it can become an abomination unto God to do what God told us to do? I feel this burning down inside of me because heaven is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. I'm talking about Jesus is coming soon. Amen. If you don't believe me, you may as well start all over again. I don't know what you've been reading, but I'm telling you that God is soon to come. He may come before morning. He's that soon to come. And I need to shake this world to tell him that we got to get back to faith. God even said, I don't even like you gathering together. I don't even like you coming to church. You see, we can come to church and assemble together. We can pack the auditorium, but not have any faith in what we're doing. And God looks at it as an abomination, and he would really wish that you didn't do it. He says in one place, he says, you're going to come and lift your hands up to me, and I'm going to turn and cover my face so that I don't see you. Because through ritual you are serving me. You have not gotten into a place of a faith-based walk with God yet. I get aggravated sometimes. And it's true. But they take it out of context. Well, if you'll be baptized in Jesus' name, God's promised to give you the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16, it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. That tells me, sister, I could baptize you six ways from Sunday. If you don't believe in it, and if you don't understand that that old dead man's going to go into the water and come back up free and new and all alive again, all of the sins are washed away, a change is going to happen. There's no reason for me to ever baptize you. Because it won't profit you any. The Bible says that the gospel was preached unto them as it was unto us. But it was not mixed with faith, what profited them nothing. They're still lost and dying and going to a devil's hell because they had no faith in what they heard. I tell you a true story. Unfortunately, neither one of these men are in our faith. I kind of wish one of them was. The other one, I don't care. I wish he was too, but you know. They said old Billy Graham, and there was somebody else that ran with him when he was young. And somewhere along the line, the other man lost his faith. He knew all of the things to say behind the pulpit, and he could get up and bring thousands to the altar, but he didn't believe in the God that he was preaching.
I'm telling you that today you can raise your family in the church, and you can come and sit in the pew night after night. You can bring your kids to prayer meetings. You can live a holy and upright life. You can do all of those things and not have any faith in the God that you serve, and you'll still be given into sin every time you turn around, and your kids will still be lost, and your family will still be torn apart, and all of those things because you don't have any faith in the God that you propose to serve. I'm burdened with this church because there's a God coming, and we don't really have faith that He's coming back. We don't really believe that there's a heaven or there's a hell. We don't really believe that there's a moment that God is going to sit on a throne and judge the hearts and the souls and the minds of people. If we realized that there was a God, if we really believed it like we said we did, it would solve the problems in our home. For there was a day when Jesus sat in the temple, and they came by and they put their offerings in. We talk about faith, how faith makes the gospel work. And Jesus sit back watching. You don't think God watches what you put in the offering? He also watches how. He said, that little widow woman put in more than you all. See, she put in with faith. She put in all that she had, but why did she put it in? The Bible says because she had a need. You see, if you're just putting in the offering, you're putting in and God just, well, whatever you're doing, that's fine, okay, whatever. But if you ever want a miracle from God, begin to believe that if I put something in this offering, God is going to reward me. There's going to be something come back to me. Why? Not because I have said God better do it, but because God said, I want to do it. If somebody will believe in me and act on my faith and walk in my faith, James says, let me show you my faith by my works. I don't get up and go to church because that's just Sunday morning thing to do. I get up and go to church because I don't want to be lost. I get up and go to church because I want to hear the Word of God, because it is the power of God and the salvation. When I hear that Jesus Christ died for my sin, I get excited. I got the Holy Ghost 30 some odd years ago, and I'm still excited about the fact that Jesus went up on Calvary, hanged on a cross, bled and died for me, died and rose from the grave 3 days later. I still get excited about it. You see, when you have faith, you can come to the altar and repent of your sins. Stand up and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When you have faith and you're walking with God, you'll make a mistake, but you know you can go to that altar and the blood's still flowing for you right then. But when the devil begins to rob our faith, and we no longer have faith in our sacrifice. We no longer have faith in our repentance. We no longer have faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. We come to the altar and we utter words, but we get up there from there unchanged. The condemnation of the sin is still upon us. All of the worry and all of the upsetness is still there, and you begin to grow cold. Your faith begins to weaken because you didn't go there with anticipation. For 6 years, I've traveled the roads of this country. And from the very beginning, when I began to start, I began to call people. And we would have prayer. And I'd say, don't even come down front unless you anticipate being healed. If you've got a need, God needs to meet your financial need. Don't come just for prayer. That's a waste of your time. But come, step down here and let God provide for you. Let God intervene in your situation. If your marriages are falling apart, don't come down here just because it will look good and feel good. Come down here for a difference and a change. Then you can have your ears open and God can speak into your heart and God can move in your mind. And we have seen some of the most incredible things, but so oftentimes it's those of us that have been around the Holy Ghost so long that we have lost our faith. We have lost our total faith in what the Lord said He would do. Not what somebody with some strange imagination said God would do, but what God wrote in that book of His own Word. I believe every word in that book is true. Do you? Every word is true. Every word is true. You see, if you would begin to have faith for holiness, it wouldn't be a hard thing to live holy. Young ladies, you will never have a problem with the temptation to chop your hair off. I'm still in the Pentecostal church, right? Okay. You won't have the temptation of wearing clothes that are obscene, and it would be a problem for you to dress more modest. Young man, it wouldn't be a problem for you to put away your pride and your attitude and your arrogance, because you would learn to walk with holy hands lifted up to God, praying in all ways and praying in all supplication. I'm going to tell you something. The pride of young men is the equivalent to some of the stuff that young girls. Girls, you think that y'all got it hard. You know how hard it is to get over pride? And God builds it into us. Because as we learn and achieve and do better, we want to prove how good we are. It's the same thing the young ladies do when they don't dress right. It's just as wrong. Oh, but when we walk and lift up God, the Bible says no flesh shall glory in His presence. I want to be full of the Holy Ghost. I want to believe that He's on the inside of me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And in order for me to, if I really believe that, I've got to humble myself 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because I want that God to be comfortable inside of me. The Bible says to quench not the Spirit. If I'm quenching the Spirit of God by my arrogance and my pride and my attitude, I don't have faith that He's in there in the first place. We can believe in what man can do. Put so much faith and trust in Him. And they proved this, they did that. People that produce things on an assembly line, they don't have this faith that something can be created, even though they're creating it. I used to work for RCA. I can't tell you how to create a television. We used to build them. But there was a man somewhere back in time that he figured out, if I could put this together and that together and that together, it'd work. How many times did the old boy turn on that light switch to see if the light bulb would come on? Thousands of times. He had faith in every one of them. You see, when you live for God, there is a constant thing. You can have the faith in something that is proven, that is written in the Word of God, that if you would just believe on it over and over and over again, it would never fail you. Why is it that you had faith to move mountains when you first came to church, but then all of a sudden you became weak in your faith, and next thing you know, God couldn't really do it? When the pastor looked at you and said, "Son, we'll pray about it," you're like, "Well, I really expected something more." Because your faith and your prayers, you're not quite sure God's going to hear your prayers. You're not quite sure that God is going to answer. You're not quite sure God's going to come through. In the late night hour, when you're wondering where your children are and you put them in the hands of God, leave it there! And watch God come through in the end. Watch God be glorified in the end. Why? Because you didn't try to take it away from God. You let God have it. You see, parents and mothers and fathers and all aunts and uncles, if we really believed in this Jesus that we preach, we would see to it that our attitude was right, because our kids are watching. Hello? I was shook by something. And if I'd have had the opportunity to give it to Brother Arlen earlier, I'd have got a picture to put on the board. But I had a pastor friend of mine take me out in California to Stanford University, where there's a great big bronze sculpture. It's called the Gates of Hell. And in this sculpture, on the outside, you have Adam and Eve with their heads hung sad and walking toward the gates of hell. And all kind of things inside of the sculpture that this man envisioned in his mind that people's reflection would be when they were there. And somewhere in this sculpture is a man on his hands and knees crawling through hell, and wrapped arms around his neck is one of his children. Tell him I said hi. And latched onto his waist is another child, holding on to his legs, his wife, crawling through hell. How is it that he got there and brought his family along? Somewhere along the line, he had no faith that it was real. Somewhere along the line, he didn't believe the Word of God that said, if you live in sin, you're going to be cast in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Somewhere along the line, he didn't believe that there was a heaven for him and his family. Somewhere along the line, he became content and lost his faith. Church family, I want to impress upon our minds that Jesus is coming soon. Daniel said that there would be a day that every crown would be laid down and Jesus would sit upon a throne and He would judge all men. And if their names weren't written in the books. And then John reiterated that whosoever's name was not found was cast in the lake with burning with fire and brimstone. This is real, folks. We've got to believe it. I want to somehow or another get your understanding and hang you out over the pits of hell just for a minute. Why do I want to do that? Because I don't want to see any more kids lost. I don't want to see any more homes broken. I don't want to see any more garbage going on. I want to see us all gloriously waiting to see a marvel, the parish of St. Landry. And we'll have a great revival right here at home. We come but believe Sunday morning will not just be 10 o'clock Sunday school. Sunday morning will be a rescue mission to get somebody out of a crack gutter and into the altars. Somewhere along the line, we've got to get our faith back that the book said it. It's going to happen. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming soon. Oh, there's people that tell you, wait a minute. All this stuff in the book, you got to see this and this and then, you know, oh, let me tell you something. You just sit back, read that book again, it's already happened. Every cotton picking thing in there has happened. You know, it's funny. These people that teach on these end times, they go around with little stuff and they talk about all the charts and graphs and all that stuff. You know where they got most of that stuff? Trinitarians. Hello? They learned it from the Trinitarians. The Bible says that the devil is a deceiver. He is deceiving the church, trying to get us to believe in an antichrist, not the Christ. You better be careful. Because tonight, Jesus can come. It can be all over with. Do you realize that before sunup, Jesus can come? Where will your children and grandchildren spend eternity if Jesus came tonight? Do you believe that He could come tonight? If you do, there will something change inside of you. All of a sudden, there will be no more problem. You ain't going to be mad at the person sitting on the pew next to you anymore. You're not going to worry about why they're this and they're that. And why is it that nobody gets on to somebody else? You're going to be so concerned about yourself that you'll make it to heaven. You'll get your kids to heaven. They'll make it. They will make it. Why? Because you will fall in love with God again. Your faith will be restored and you will live for God. Your works will prove that you love God. Your works will prove that you have faith. How is that going to be done? Because when I get up and go to church, I will realize the commandment that said, love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Oh, I love myself. I don't want to go to hell. Do you love your neighbor? Jesus said, love the Lord thy God with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength. But the second commandment is as unto the first. It's just as important. That you love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, I got to find somebody to come to church with me. I can't go to church by myself anymore. My pew's empty. I can't go back to church unless there's a revival going on. I can't go back to church unless there's a revival spirit. But wait a minute! I can produce that. I can produce prayer. I can produce genuine faith. I can produce a miracle in my life by letting God take control of the things that I won't let go of. Faith for this? Your faith for holiness? The Bible says peace and holiness, for without such no man can see God. How's peace going in your life? You see, if you have faith for peace, that Jesus Christ is the way you maker. He provides peace when there is no peace. He is everything. Oh, let me tell you something. When I'm all upset and I'm all stressed and I'm all mad at somebody, let me get my mind on Jesus and all of a sudden peace will start coming in. You see, if you have faith for that, you can do it. You're stressed. You don't need to take all that heart pills and all that stuff. Why? Because if you get on believing on Jesus Christ, all of a sudden all that stuff just go away. Why? Because peace comes in. I'm going to tell you something, it's amazing that every time somebody gets sick, it's not something that can be dealt with a week from now. It's something that last week you should have done it. Let's get you in, cut you up. It's not peace. That's not peace. Jesus gave us peace. Passes all understanding. Oh, you mean I got to have that kind of peace in my home? Yeah, do you believe that the Lord, when He wrote that book and put that in there? You need to work on it. You need to build peace in your home. Why? Because Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. I believe Jesus is coming soon. I want to put my life's house in order. I want to get things right. Let me tell you something. The Lord woke me up. It was either right before or right after the Haiti earthquake. And He said, it ain't over with. I told my dad, my pastor. I said, God told me there's going to be more. And it ain't over with. There's going to be a lot more. And I think I counted somewhere near 80 earthquakes in a period of just a few days. In places they didn't think about having earthquakes. We got things going on around this world. I'm going to tell you something. You better open up your eyes and get ready. You better open up your eyes and get ready. You better get some faith that Jesus is coming soon. Because otherwise you're going to twiddle your thumbs right into hell. I want to talk to some young people. I want to talk to some parents. I want to talk to some visitors. And I want to talk to you and get you to come to this altar and renew your faith in Jesus Christ. Lay that down and start all over again. Forget what yesterday was all about. And let God start you over again. Why? Because Jesus is soon to come. Not because the preacher said it. Not because it's going to help my bottom line. Not because I don't want nobody to look at me that funny. But because Jesus is coming soon. Which would you rather people look at you funny when you are cast in the gates of hell? Or would you rather than admire the fact that you cast yourself at an altar one day and you repented of your sin and you let God change you? Oh, mother and father, have you forgotten that Jesus is coming soon and you forgot to have prayer with your family in the last while? When's the last time you got back to the book and you got back to some Bible studies at home? Well, a preacher does Bible studies at church. When's the last time you preached to your children? When's the last time you impressed upon them the necessity of being ready because Jesus is coming soon? Oh, we get so used to deadlines and pushing, pressing, pushing, pushing. I'm going to tell you something. There's a deadline coming that no man knoweth the day nor the hour. No man knoweth the day nor the hour. We don't have time for false doctrine. We don't have time for fables. We don't have time for bedtime stories. I'm so sick and tired of religion that sits around and patty cakes for Jesus while people are dying and going to hell. If you don't understand it, this is something burning inside of me. You missed the point. You may as well go and pack up and go home. But I'm talking to somebody that is tired of seeing your family burn and go to hell. And you're looking at when you see them walk down the street and their attitudes and all that against God, you ought to just see the flames burning around them. And all of a sudden, you just want to reach in and grab a hold of them. That son or that daughter, that granddaughter, that cousin, that niece, that nephew. Oh, God. They got to. Pop that can of beer and it's just like coals of fire going down their throat. I want to get it. I want to save them. I want to throw out a life preserver to them. I want the gospel to reach them. I want to change them. Why? Because I don't want them to be lost. I get so tired of walking around Walmart and I watch men with their little girls and they try to dress them like some kind of garbage in this world. Why can't somebody get a vision and get their faith back that Jesus is coming soon? Why can't somebody care? I don't have time to run around with people. I don't have time to do things like that. Why? Because by the middle of my doing that, Jesus may come back. I don't have time to waste, and you don't either. You don't either. It was the last time you brought somebody to church. It wasn't just somebody that came because they happened to be staying at your house that weekend. But when was the last time you went out and found somebody and they're living like they're living and your burden was in your heart so strong that you got out there and you found them and you brought them to church? There's a man in Michigan. It stirred my heart. I've heard this. It's been about 10 years ago when I heard it. His pastor told the story. But when he got the Holy Ghost, he was so overcome with what God did. He had so much faith in what God did for him. He said, I'll never go to church again without a visitor. And for years, that man went to church late sometimes, but he always had a visitor. And there are hundreds of people that are living for God today because one man had faith. One man went beyond the ritual. One man got the understanding that if I live for God, my fortune will change and everybody else around me ought to have the same opportunity as me. Oh, God, help us. Let's talk to God just for a minute right now. Come on, pray. Talk to us, Jesus. Oh, God, stir my soul today. Move on me, God. Don't let me be cold. Don't let me shrug this off. I've got to see something happen. Why don't you call somebody's name right now? Tara and Joshua and however many that you can think of right now, call their names before God. I don't want to be lost, church. I don't want to be lost. That's why we're baptizing somebody tonight. Because we don't want to see them lost. We present the gospel. We teach the truth. Why? Not because it's fun or it's popular, but because we don't want to see them lost. I feel this in the Holy Ghost right now. If you're not where you need to be, you ought to get up at this very moment and walk to this altar because your daylight may not come. Now, if you're not where you need to be, things have been going in your life like it shouldn't be. You've been living ways that you shouldn't live. You ought to get up and walk down here right now and let God touch you. The Bible says he that falls upon that rock will be broken. But if that rock falls on you, you're going to be crushed to powder. Come on, why don't you come to God right now? I got mothers and fathers in here, and your homes are falling apart because of this garbage. Because you don't believe that God sees you in the dark. You think because you haven't popped the top on beer in a long time, everything's all right. But you're so full of idolatry and adultery and fornication in your heart. Oh, God. Is another child going to have to die and go to hell before we get excited about our own salvation? Mothers and fathers, if you've got kids in here that ain't got the Holy Ghost, you ought to have them by the hand in this altar right now. Somebody needs the Holy Ghost tonight. Oh, God. Come on, don't you believe the Word? Don't you believe that your kids got to have the Holy Ghost? Don't you believe that your wife's got to have the Holy Ghost? Don't you believe what the Bible says about being unequally yoked with non-believers? And you're going out there and finding people in the world and you're spending more time with them than you're spending with the people of God. Not to save their souls. You're sitting there wrestling in your mind right now. Should I get up and go? I'm going to tell you something. If you don't get up and go, you'll get up and go gone. I'm reaching for somebody right now. I'm reaching for a family right now. The hellfire is burning. I'm trying to tell you something. You need to move right now. Come on, somebody, cry out to God. Come on. Oh, God, move right now. Please, Jesus. Please, Jesus. Please, Jesus. Come on, before it's too late, before the time is shortened, before that moment when Jesus calls His people home, before that everlasting trumpet, you've got an opportunity right now to step before God and wash Him clean. Cry out to God now before it's too late. Daddy, you ain't even so much as opened the book before your children. I'm going to tell you, you ought to come down to this altar right now and dedicate your family to God. You got kids within 2 years. They're going to be so far from this church that you won't know what hit your family. And you're going to be in this altar crying and praying for them. I'm telling you right now is the hour to make it happen. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God, you move upon us right now as opposed to letting me lost, oh, God. Let them feel the flames of hell, but they'll not be lost. God, I'm tired of playing games. I'm tired of just coming to church. Oh God, I'm going to say this right now. Somebody better move before God begins to expose you. You think all of your stuff is hidden? I'm talking to you right now in the Holy Ghost. You need to move right now. Now would be a real good opportunity. Granddaddy, there's some things that you don't want. Oh, Grandma to find out about. Why don't you bring it to God and let God take care of it right now? This ain't just a message for the young. This is a message for those that have been in church for 30 or 40 years. And we've lost our faith that God meant what He said. If your marriage is not like it needs to be, I'm telling you that if you would make it right with God, God would heal your marriage. Wives, you put up with stuff that you ought not put up with. Men, you put up with stuff that you ought not put up with. But right now is a golden opportunity. I'm begging you. I'm begging you in the Holy Ghost to give heed to what I'm saying to you. The power of gossip has tore your faith from your body. The power of a lying tongue has tore your walk with God. And I'm trying to get you to restore it tonight. Some way, somehow, give Jesus a chance. Do you believe that He died for you? Do you believe that He made a way for you? All you've got to do is just get your faith back. Get your faith back. You got your kids so far away from home. What good would it do if I get the altar, Brother John? I'm going to tell you what it'll do. They'll begin to see your works and they'll know your faith. They'll begin to know that Mama's been talking about faith all these years, but all of a sudden I see her living it. I see her dedicating time. I see her praying. I see her crying. And I can feel it thousands of miles away. Why? Because somebody said, I'm going to restore my faith. Come on, call to God. Come on, He's hearing you right now. God, I don't want to be lost. I don't want to go to hell, Lord. I don't want my kids to go to hell. Come on, would you be shaken tonight? Would you be shaken tonight? Church like it used to be, where you used to come to the altar and spend hours in prayer. You were burning with desire to see the lost saved. What changed? Come on, talk to God. Let's just all come up to the front right now. Some of you are afraid somebody's going to see you walking down here. Why don't we just all come down? Come on, get your kids by the hand. I know normally do women on one side, men on the other. Why don't you bring your family down? If you care about them, bring your family together and cry out to God over your children. Cry out to God over your spouse. Come on now, tonight is the night to change, to get faith one more time in the old things of God. Come on, come on, come on, come on. We just hold on to the atatara, the atataha, the asataha. Come on, yes, God can forgive it. Yes, God can change it. It's not too far gone. It's not too far undone. Come on, God can melt the heart of that child. God can change the situation altogether. Come on, come on. Unless you just have to. I don't want to see people moving around. Kids, get with your parents right now. Come on, this is a serious business at this moment in time. Find your parents. Parents, find your kids. Come on. Come on, this is serious, serious business. Somebody's soul may be hanging in the balance right now. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Don't let my children be lost, God. Jesus. Oh God, renew a right spirit within me. I don't want to be lost. What profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his soul? Come on, would you invest in your salvation tonight? If you don't have the Holy Ghost, I'm telling somebody that Jesus died for your sins. Jesus hung on a cross and bled and died for you. I want you to understand that you don't have to be lost tonight. I want you to understand that Jesus will forgive you of all of your sins this very night. You can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost. You need it to be saved. You're not going to make it to heaven unless you have made it right with God. Come on, young people, call out to God right now. Come on, Jesus hears every cry. He sees every tear that falls. I got young people in here right now that are praying for their parents sitting out there. They got more tears in their eyes than you have for them. What would happen with your family if you just would stay here and pray like this half the night long? What would be the change tomorrow if you would fight the enemy off your family tonight? What would be different in your home if you just would walk in and lock horns at the altar and not let go? I'm going to tell you, this other junk will take care of itself. Come on. Jesus said, for such an hour do you think not? When you just think it ain't that time, he's going to break open the eastern sky. You're going to hear the trumpet God call his people home. And it will be too late. When you could have cried out to God one time on this night, it might have made the difference for your soul. It might make the difference for your family. Mamas and daddies, pray your kids through the Holy Ghost tonight. We may as well have 10 or 15 young people get the Holy Ghost. Come on. If you see a kid down here without their parents, why don't you come pray with them? Let somebody show the love of God and pray with some of these kids through the Holy Ghost tonight. If your neighbor's sitting on the pew and you know they don't have the Holy Ghost, why don't you take a minute and go talk to them right now? God's already making the way. God's already talking to him. Why don't you just go and talk to him a little bit? Come on, show some concern. Jesus, let the cries of this altar tonight be the thing that you long to hear. Right now, victory is mine. Victory is mine tonight. I'm gonna overcome. You can overcome your addictions if you would have faith that God can bring you through. I believe that that Spirit has a sickle in his hand and he is measuring us. He is looking upon us. Where is my soul alive with God tonight? When I leave this place, will I be ready to meet heaven? Do you have an urgency to make heaven? Do you have an urgency not to be lost? anything in this world worth losing your soul over. Man, is there any woman in this world worth losing your soul over? Come on, talk to God right now. Some of you are thinking right now, what's all this to do about? You don't care about your soul, but some of these young people want to be saved. Some of these older people want to be saved. There's hunger here. I'm telling you, deliverance is here tonight. Revival's here tonight. Revival's here tonight. Public school is going to be different because what happens here tonight. Two in the bed and one would be taken and the other left behind. Two in the field and one would be gone and the other would be left. Which one do you want to be? You get to make that decision. Nobody can make that decision for you. But if you make the decision for Christ, I'm telling you that Jesus has a way for you. Come on. Push a little harder. While some of you have been praying hard, there's a few of you just starting. There's a few of you just beginning to realize that this message is trying to talk to your soul. He who hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Come on. The night before Jesus was crucified, he asked the disciples to pray. And he came and found him asleep. He said, could you not just pray 1 hour? Can we not just pray 1 hour? What is 1 hour in reference to eternity? Oh, I got so much to do. Whatever.
to do to me. Don't let me be lost for eternity. Because above all else, I must be saved. Come on, for where your treasure lies, there your heart is also. Oh, for where your treasure lies, where are your trophies? Your trophies laid up in heaven, or are they somewhere where moth and rust have to go up? What is your end game? Where do you hope to be tomorrow?
Thank you.
begin to thank him for what he's done for us. Begin to thank him for that hand of forgiveness. Begin to thank him because there was an opportunity. There was an opportunity tonight for you to make a difference. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the opportunity to receive the Holy Ghost tonight. Pastor that prays for me. Thank God I got a church that loves me. Yes, 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 yes. Just spoke to me, and there's somebody in this place that God used to speak through you. Tongues, interpretation. You've been so wrong that you've gotten calloused. You need to open up that God wants to talk to you again. God wants me to minister through you again. It's not over with. Come on, he's still using it. He's still called. He's still got a key. Come on, come on. Thank you. something it off with your family right now. Come on. Come on, talk to God, talk to God, talk to God. Come on, there's another one God's dealing with. You ought to give in to God right now. You sat there cold for about the 10 minutes and God's moving on your heart right now. You need to go ahead and yield to God. Why don't you go ahead and put your hands into heaven and begin to call out on your Lord. Begin to call Him. Begin to love Him and walk with God within you right now. Come on, it's not too late. Young lady, young man, your answer's not in another young lady or another man. Your answer's in the Lord. If you're ever going to have peace, if you're ever going to have peace, you're going to have to get a hold of God right now. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. God changes people. and it's just about over. Let's pull together. Come on, one more rally. Come on. Come on. Ladies, would you come? Come on, lay your hands on one another and begin to pray. Push, 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 push. This might be your child that somebody else is praying for. This might be your son or daughter, your aunt or uncle. Come on, bind it just one more time. Come on, bind together, bind together. Come on, come on, come on, come on. God has spoken a scripture to my soul. Exodus 34:10. And he said, "Behold, I make a covenant. Before all my people, I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth nor in any nation. And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Church family, God's going to make you a spectacle. God's going to make us a spectacle of this world. We're either going to be a marvel of the glory of God, or we're going to be a mark. I want to be a marvel. I'm going to live for God because I want this world to see what God can do. I'm going to see to it that everybody I talk to, I've got a mission. I'm on a mission. I believe in God. I believe in the Word of God. I want to see souls saved. I want to say, there's nothing else more important to me. There's nothing else more important anymore. Come on.
Thank you, Brother Don, for talking to us. Couldn't help but remember the similarities from last Sunday night of the Pentecost preaching so capably, prepared to meet thy God. And Brother Don comes in tonight and ties right in with what the Lord is talking to us about, to be ready for his coming. Amen. To be ready for his coming. Morning, night, or noon. We don't know when he's coming, but he's coming. We need our faith in that fact restored. Amen. If we believe him, if we believe him, oh, how we can live. Praise the Lord. Let's thank the Lord for the preaching tonight. Thank the Lord for the lives that were touched tonight. Oh, God, you're doing a drawing in our midst, and we thank you for that. God, you're touching our young people. Touching our children, and we thank you for that. Touching our parents, Lord. You touch me, and I thank you for that, Lord. God, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I want to be ready.